And we are back again with another team preview here with the Plat Chat crew. Of course, we still have the OCE with us, the OCE guys. And, you know, we're eating fairy bread and fucking Vegemite and shit. Like, we're doing that. So, like, good stuff. Oh, God, I just demonetized the video in the first, like, 10 seconds, didn't I? So, like, either way. So, yeah, we're doing a team preview. This time,
it's Toronto.
It's going to be Toronto. No one's going to watch it. So, we're here with Toronto Defiant in the first one. So, Toronto Defiant is going to be the team preview of today. And it's an interesting squad. Now, last year, my heart was broken into a million pieces. Have you ever seen that Locket GIF where it opens up and it's like, Bunger, my beloved? And it says, like, Bunger, my beloved. That's me, Toronto, my beloved. It opened up last year. I was like, I can't wait for Toronto. And then my hopes and dreams were dashed, crushed into a million pieces. But this year, the roster is honestly more exciting, potentially, than it was last year. Overall, yeah. I mean, they have some interesting players on the roster, some good players, some wild card players.
Standout names.
Let's discuss. So, first of all, when we look at this mix of names, like, what's the first one? If you were to, like, dip your toe into the pool, you know, and you're like, oh, is it cold? Is it warm? Like, are we getting a good vibe? Or are we getting a meh vibe? How are we feeling about this?
I think we're getting a good vibe. We're getting such a good vibe that I forgot to change my wallpaper. So, just real quick, you've seen the wrong thing here. I was very ready for the Toronto Defiant.
Production value.
It is. Like, whoa, now we're selling Toronto Defiant. I think they're not, I'm not going to get into specifics just yet, but their support line is really, really good. Like, you guys, Chorong is absolutely nutty. I think their DPS has pretty high potential as well. The tanks look interesting. Maybe that's, you know, that's the best thing I'll say about that. I think this is generally a good team. I think this is an upgrade over their previous team as well. Clearly, Overactive Media of wanting to build a far more competitive roster, which is great for the Toronto fans.
They're trying so hard, man.
They really are. They spent a lot of money really on the offseason. They have good teams in the other games. In CDL, they have Toronto Ultra, who have done super well. Not at this exact moment. They're still on the comeback. And then they have Mad Lions and LEC, who the other teams under Overactive Media do well. It's just Toronto Defiant's always just been that one, you know, sore thumb sticking out that just hasn't been great. So they want to fix that. And I appreciate what they're doing to the team.
I actually talked about this recently on my stream, and it was Toronto Defiant is the least successful team in the Overwatch League as a franchise. Like, Houston actually had some success in the first season because I was looking at it.
Oh,
Toronto Defiant have only made $45,000 in prize pool throughout their entire time of being here, which is pretty hard to do because, like, you know, you really just get money for existing.
They've been in the league since the inception of, like, they've just added more and more prize money comparatively to Houston, where there was, like, less prize money to be had, correct?
So, obviously you can make your arguments for Houston, but yeah, Toronto's just, they've always been very mediocre. Like, I don't think they've ever had a season where they finish in the top half. I think this is by far their best roster. I agree with Avril. I have some concerns. I think I'm being more critical on Toronto than I should be, but yeah, obviously we can break that down as we talk more specifics.
Okay, well then let's talk specifics then. We'll start since Avril, he kind of did a weird champ. He kind of did a little bit of a weird champ. He was like, let's talk the tank line then. So the tank line, it has names that we know, that we recognize. I mean, they have Hotbud, they have Muse recently of the LA Gladiators, and Hotbud just came from Fusion. Fusion. So looking at this tank line, surely it doesn't seem that bad, right? It seems like they have a decent amount of flexibility.
I'm memeing a little bit. It's definitely not that bad. It's not the most exciting tank line. I think Muse did struggle a little bit last year. So meta could be a bit of a problem for him again if he doesn't, you know, shape up on more Ryan-based stuff. I mean, who really knows what is going to get played at the end of the day? I have no qualms about Muse coming back on dive tanks. It should be fine. And Hopper was reasonable last year as well, but I mean, his fusion just kind of crumbled, and I think Hopper had some strong moments. He had a really good Zarya, to be fair. And if we have a Zarya meta, I feel good about that. But I'm not as excited about this tank line as I am about others. And here's the thing about this Toronto team as well, is if you want to build a team that can really compete, and I don't know what Overactive Media's expectation is for the team. I don't know if they're trying to build a team for, like, the literal championship or if they just want to improve. But I don't know if this team is good enough to fight for a championship if you don't have a super exciting, you know, lineup in every single position on your roster. Like, if there's any sort of holes at all, then you're like, well, you can't be a championship team anymore. So this is probably, to me, maybe the weakest part of their lineup this year, but it's not even that weak. Like, they're not going to be a losing team. They're just not going to be fighting for a title yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I when we look at some of these other teams that are brought in new rookie tanks or they've committed to one single tank, I think Toronto Defiant, they deserve credit in this regard because they've actually added a relatively good main tank and a relatively good off tank that can like hold their own within the league. Like you said, they're not going to be the creme of the crop when we look at the best tanks in NA. But if you look at the tanks of some of these other teams that are like the lower teams in North America last year or even like mid-table, like, I think Toronto Defiant, they won't be held back by their tank line. And I think they deserve some credit for having a solid off tank, having a solid main tank that, you know, they won't change the world. They won't be the ones winning some of these series, but they're going to be able to hold their own. I think that Hopa is a solid pickup. I think that Buse is a solid pickup. I don't have that much more to say about it, to be honest. I think they're just, you know, league average tanks, which is sometimes, I think, underrated a little bit because people are so excited about some of the new talent coming in or some of these bigger names that are going to be solo tanks. But I think that Hotman and Muse are actually going to give them some kind of stability where some of the other teams in NA are missing that.
Okay, I'm going to come in out of nowhere and I'm going to say this. I really don't like this tank line. I think Muse was incredibly poor for the Los Angeles Gladiators. A great roster.
Incredibly poor even.
DP has come out and said that he had a lack of flexibility and was one of the major issues with the Los Angeles Gladiators, which is not good going into Overwatch 2 where you only have one tank. And then Hopper is his counterpart. And I think any player that has been a part of five teams in five seasons, there is something fundamentally problem that needs to be solved. Like the other players that do that, they generally have been hopping between teams because they've never found a home. Hopper has been, I don't know, like a roller coaster of emotions. Like we'll go through one meta where I'm like, is Hopper like one of the best off tanks? And then he will go to the next one. He's just like turbo feeding, it feels like, in a way. I'm not sold on Hopper being as good, especially as some of these great rookie players coming in. I'm worried about this tank line. And I think if Toronto is going to stumble, I think it's going to be with their tank line.
Damn, you're harsh on Hotba. You know, you were comparing him to like the people that are killing teams with their personalities and stuff. I don't really think that's hot.
He's not killing teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's really Hotba's thing, right? Like, he's not someone that's out there like everyone's like, oh god, we got to get rid of this fucking guy, like get him off the team. Like, it's more so like he just role wise and like his fit in the team. I feel he hasn't really found the perfect team for him by any means, and like, it's tough to like slot him into a roster because like a big part of his sell, like a selling point, right? Like in season one was that he played DPS as well as off tank. And then that went away with the roll lock in 2-2-2. So like, it's interesting. And like you said, he's looked really good and he's looked mad. I mean, as looking at this tank line, and Custa is now saying he thinks it's like one of his least favorite tank lines. Do we agree with that for like what this team's looking to aspire to? Is this going to hold them back potentially?
If they're trying to go for a championship, yeah, they're not going to win off the tank line. Or at least it would be unlikely to. I don't think I hate it as much as Custa does. I think I'll give him a tiny bit more credit, but it doesn't inspire like this kind of confidence that you need when you look at, like, I can look at we just talked about Glads. So I'll use him as an example. Reiner comes in hot off great success in tier two. Space is space. He's a role star. I believe he's a current role star, right? So yeah. And that's the kind of tank line you need if you want to fight for a championship. And so Glads are in position to do that. And Toronto are in positions in some areas to fight for a championship, and then others just doesn't look like it.
All right.
I think they're middle of the pack.
I want to retract my hate statement. 12. Sorry, Johnny. I dislike it. Okay. Hate makes it seem like I think these guys are like shouldn't be in the league and stuff like that. I'm saying in relativity to like some of their players on this roster, like I think it's their weak point, and that's how I want to phrase it. Hate is a strong word.
I mean, if you really think about it, this words are all semantics are interesting, right? Because like disliking is kind of just a very, very microscopic hatred. You really think about it. So it's all relative, you know? It's all relative when you think about it. Language is
interesting. Microscopic hatred.
It's a microscopic hatred.
I was not comparing their tank line to like Gladiators in Shanghai. So when Neville does that, it really shifts the tone of the conversation. Because I was like,
Johnny, it depends.
Two tanks for Lono Spitfire. Yeah, Toronto's tank line is pretty good compared to Spitfire.
What are the goals of these teams? Like, you have to, when you look at it, there's a huge budget difference between Toronto and London, just to be clear as well. So from the org perspective, there's different goals there. Like, if you're spending a fuck ton of money, you are probably looking for something. I'd say that Toronto is spending enough money to look for maybe a regional title, at least, maybe. Mm-hmm.
They want to be in the. Title. They want to be contenders.
Your tank line.
Well, let's save expectations for later. Let's save expectations for later. So the tank line were mixed. I mean, my point of view, I definitely agree. It looks extremely underwhelming for what I think this organization wants to achieve. And heading to Overwatch 2, it does look underwhelming. I'm more humped. I'm more pumped for Hotba than I am Muse as the, in the tank line. Honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Hotba's solid. You know.
Yeah, I think Hotba's pretty decent. He's shown, even though he's ups and downs, he at least averages out when we do the oscillations to pretty decent. You know.
Yeah.
So like, I'm okay with Hotba overall, and you can't go wrong with someone that has at least some extra flexibility in going into Overwatch 2, right? Like, can't
he's
really
just a mercenary trying to make his way through Overwatch.
Well, then let's talk. since we're trying to like, I guess we're gonna keep this format for right now for today when we're doing this. Let's go support. So they've added Chorong and Twilight. Myself, I think that's a spicy support line.
This is talking about like putting them in places where we're like, could this compete with a championship? Twilight, Chorong. 100% could compete for a championship. I think they are absolutely phenomenal players. We haven't seen much of Twilight in recent years, but every time he did come in and play for the Shock, he was sick. So it's like, I have good expectations for him. He's obviously very talented. Chorong is one of the best main support prospects coming into the league. Very strong all round. Like, I don't, like, it's hard to find fault in this when you're comparing them to like other, like, you know, support lineups in the league. Like, I would put this, you know, obviously a few more question marks, but I think this is one that could compete with like your Lee Jaegon Izayakis and, you know, some of your other best support lineups in the league. So I like them. I think this is the best part of the Toronto Defiant.
I don't think he's one of the best. I think he is the best main support or potentially even support rookie coming through. He's absolutely cracked. And the thing about him is, well, it's not like he just played one good season last year. He's like, oh, he looks pretty good. No, like, I've covered this guy since he was on like awful teams, and he was a standout main support on bad teams. Like, how do you do that? How do you be a standout main support on a bad team? That's hard to do, and he was doing that. So this guy is unreal. I think he was clearly one of the key pieces Toronto were targeting in the offseason. And this is probably one of the biggest W's for Toronto to have claimed in the offseason. Because he would have been on a top team on another roster potentially if Toronto didn't snap him up. So yeah, I have a lot of faith in this backline. Chorong Twilight is crazy. Like, that is the kind of championship caliber, you know, support line that you need to go for titles.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so in agreement, the support line is looking nutty then. I'm a big Twilight simp. I think Twilight's fucking incredible. I'm not going to lie. So I think Twilight's really, really good. So I do like the support line a lot. I think it's exactly what you said, Admiral. If you're wanting to build a championship roster, this is the type of support line you're trying to get. So, okay, not too much to say on the support line here because looking really good. So let's talk DPS because it also gets a little interesting here as well. So they have Finale, Aldo, and Hisu. What are our thoughts on this one?
And we should say that although his travel is delayed, right?
Like, yeah.
He couldn't get a,
yes.
get a
visa, issues? So.
Yeah, his travel is delayed. Like,
yeah,
it was either visa or like COVID-related stuff because of visa. Or
I'm trying to find
like,
it, but Reddit is down. So
add it in there, weird. Like in that way. But so let's just regardless, like okay, maybe Aldo won't be here for the beginning of the season potentially. But let's just talk about let's talk about the roster as if it's one, all the same
sure.
right now.
Yeah.
You kind of have to because I think most people would talk about Speedly as if he just magically was here. So I think we'll just pretend although is.
I think you have to start with Hisu. I think and Hisu is a very interesting player. Like his career arc and like where he is now. I'm lagging out. Don't worry about that. Just listen to my voice. Focus on my voice. I'm lagging out. because I think people really respected Hisu after the stint he had on Philadelphia Fusion in 2020. And he just decided to, you know, join Toronto Defiant, and he was supposed to be like the star player for that team and really be the pop-off DPS player for that team. And I think to some degree, like, he showed that he's not necessarily like on par with some of the best DPS players around the league. But towards the end of the season, like, some of the stuff he did on Hanzo and like some of the highlights he had on some of those heroes were like out of this world. Like, it was so much fun actually watching Toronto Defiant. And I think it was the first time where Toronto Defiant, you know, when he played alongside Aspire sometimes, like, it was one of the first times where you really enjoyed tuning into Toronto Defiant games, because there was actually like a reason to watch. There was someone who actually like popped off in a really interesting way and played really fun Overwatch. So you got to give Hisu some props there. If he wants to fully like get promoted to the next level, like, I feel like he really has to step up this year. I think this is like a make or break year for Hisu and how we view him as a player, because I feel like last year we kind of gave him like a little bit of benefit of the doubt, you know, like he's joined the Toronto Defiant team. They're struggling a little bit, but he's still like trying to carry his weight. If you really want to start competing with some of these top teams, I mean, you gotta pop off, especially in a 5v5 format when DPS is of even more importance. Like, you really have to take it to some of these guys on Dallas Fuel, Atlanta Reign, the LA Gladiators with Ansem Parifan. Like, you gotta take it to some of these guys and prove that you can win some of these team fights for your team. So it's a really important year for Hisu. I'll be very keen to follow him this year. I think he's a very exciting talent and fun to watch, but he has to step it up this year, just to one more level, in my opinion, if Toronto are to compete.
Yeah. I want to agree to that, because like Hisu, I think he's always been that sort of like secondary player, that person who's on the lineup. You're like, yeah, it's good to have, but like, if you look at the lineup right now with Finale and although beside him, he really is the DPS player, like the one that they're building around, like kind of what, think of like Kevster for the Gladiators. It's like, you know, Kevster's going to be a constant. I think Hisu has to be that constant for this year, because I can't really see them coming and playing Finale, although like a lot. So I think a lot of the DPS lineup is going to ride on Hisu. I think he had a great 2021 season. I think he turned a lot of heads, especially on that Hanzo. But yeah, I think he isn't at that caliber now where I would be like, oh yeah, I'm really confident in Hisu being able to go up against the best, like, especially with how much talent is coming into this league from contenders as well. There is some new nutty players coming in. But I will say, like, just sort of, I don't know if anyone wants to say more about Hisu, but I think a lot of my concerns, like, I like, although I think I've seen bits and pieces, I think he's solid. Finale is a little bit of my, like, is he going to be a little out of his depth, especially as a rookie coming in with some of these other people, when we talk like, you know, Proper and Speedily and stuff like that. Is Finale going to be able to hold his own against those players?
Yeah, I think Finale comes in from a pretty successful Uprising Academy team. I watched a little bit of them. I'll be straight. I didn't like get the full read on their entire season, just little bits and pieces. I think Victoria was a very important player on that team, and Finale was part of that. I mean, that's the DPS trio of those two plus Stella were pretty decent. But just to what Scott's saying as well, it's like, but are they going to be able to compete against some of the other insane rookies coming on through? Because you have the MN3s of the world as well. You have the Propers of the world, right? And things get really wild off that. And even looking at his specific position, I think there's just been, even he's got to compete against guys like Zest as well on Fusion, in terms of being the same flex DPS position coming as a rookie. Might be a little bit out of his depth. And I'm actually excited for Aldo and Hisu to play together. I think Aldo being a little bit closer to that O2 Blast kind of gang gives him a bit more credence. I also have seen a lot more of him personally, so I guess I can speak more positively to Aldo's gameplay simply because I have casted him and I didn't really look over NA contenders as much. It's not one of my regions. Hisu is a great player. I think he's one of their key players for the season, and a great member to have brought over from that previous season. Like, if you're going to bring over anyone, Hisu's right at the top of the list. So, yeah, maybe a little bit question marks for the rookies, but Hisu is undoubtedly going to be solid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in Hisu still. Personally, after his stint on Runaway, coming out of Runaway to going to 2020 Fusion, where I personally think Fusion were at their best playing with him, him and Ivy, I thought that was by far their best iteration in 2020. And he was great in contenders. And that, I mean, the Toronto Defiant roster last year was a fucking dumpster fire. I mean, it was a shit show. Like, it's tough to get the value, the same amount of value you had when you compare how Fusion played in 2020 around him and the tempo and the way they utilized him, like when they were playing like that Sombra Reaper comp or like the Maze stuff, comparatively to what they were doing with Defiant last year and like how disjointed that team was, you know, like. I just find it, and he still had moments of greatness, especially towards the end of the season. So I still feel confident about Hisu as being like a centerpiece for this team. I think he's still really good. I mean, it could be the start of like a falling off potentially, but you know, we'll still have to see coming into the next year if that's going to be the case, because if there's ever a year for DPS to prove their worth, it's going to be the beginning of Overwatch 2, where it's going to be chaos and the mechanics are going to really shine. And for the rest of DPS on, yeah, although I think he's a very solid player. Finale is definitely part of a two-part system from Uprising Academy. I mean, when you think about how like great they were comparatively to like Victoria in terms of like their success, I don't know. I think arguably their DPS line, there's still parts to be excited about. So, you know, well, it's mid lane though. It's definitely mid lane. Well, then since we're continuing this trend as well for Defiant, for our team previews now that people have complained, coaching. I'm pretty sure they're coaching for the most part. They still have retained KDG, correct, as the head coach.
Love to see it.
Yeah, KDG is still the head coach, and they've added Moby Dick and Yang Won. And Moby Dick came over from Fusion, and Yang Won, I don't actually know where Yang Won is from.
In 2020, 2019.
Oh, he was already with Yang.
He was with them last year.
He was previously before that was with Runaway, though. So he's one of those one of the Runaway guys way back.
Okay. Well, how are we feeling about coaching? Because personally, it seems like I had a lot of faith in KDG after his time in Dynasty, and it seems like it did not come to pass for this previous year of Toronto. Is this a redemption year?
I'm still holding on to the KDG stock. As someone who simped for him, even after the Philadelphia Fusion run in 2020 as well, so Dynasty run, I was over the moon about him joining the Toronto Defiant last year and like really setting the team up. But I think, wasn't there some kind of like drama about the roster that they've already signed, like half the roster? They brought in a lot of players before even...
I think KDG didn't have as much control over the building of that roster as I think he wanted.
Last year.
Right. Yeah.
I think I remember that.
I think they had like, it was probably like the Beast and Logic's pieces. And then they started bringing like some of the Korean players, when he joined. But I don't know. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt once more. I feel like this is more of the team that he wanted to put together, and he feels probably that like represents what how he wanted to structure it. I think that last year was just like a bit of a mess, naturally, because you had some of these Logics and Beast pieces, and you had to pick up Aspire as well because of COVID reasons. And COVID did not turn out to be great, but Aspire did turn out to be great.
I mean, COVID was definitely a star player. COVID was definitely a star player on a lot of rosters, though.
A lot of impact that season.
A lot of impact.
So I think that this year, I'm willing to give KDG one more year because of his prior success and how much I respected his, even like player rotations on Philadelphia Fusion, like the DPS players, how they rotated, like subbing in Boombox at times in the support line for his Batiste in 2020 as well. Like, I think that that Fusion team was really well managed in 2020, and they squeezed everything possible from that roster to make it top four that season in so many different metas. They were competitive. So I have a lot of respect for KDG in that regard. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt once more. And if this is the team he's put together, I think they can punch above their weight. They're not going to be, winning regionals. They're not going to be competing with the top teams. But I think they can be a middle-of-the-pack team that can take some series of some of the bigger players.
Okay. So, overall, coaching staff, we're going to have to wait and see. They've added some decent pieces with, like, Moby Dick from Fusion. But it's kind of like a wait and see. Overall, the roster is looking all right, kind of hodgepodgey here. What are we feeling placement-wise for this team? Where are they aiming to get, and where would you think they're going to get,
I think that I would put them in a solid, 6-8 range is where I would say in North America. I think they're going to struggle to deal with, Gladiators, Dallas Fuels, potentially Washington Justice, San Francisco Shock, but I think they're just outside of it. I think there's a tier break. And then I think it's Toronto Defiant. There's a world in which I think they it all comes together. Their tank line is actually sick, and they actually massively overexceed expectations. But the same thing can be said the other side. There's a lot of variance in this team, but I think 6-8 is 6-7. I think is around where I'd put them.
They're top half for me. I think they're top half for sure in North America. Just to be clear, I think it'd be too hard for me to do global right now for a team like this. I think they have the capability to be. Maybe if they really reach their peaks, as high as maybe fifth even, and competing against teams maybe Houston Outlaws, potentially NYXL, I think they can be around that kind of level even. I'm saying if they really pull it together, this team has capability.
I see what you're saying. I think when we do our power rankings eventually, leading into this year is going to be so interesting because there are so many teams in that middle of the pack kind of mix. That have genuinely really good players. Yeah. And if you're, you know, if you were to ask me of my opinion, like, do you think Toronto Defiant's DPS line is going to be able to hold a candle towards some of those DPS lines? Whether it's even like New York Excelsior with Flora and Yaki, or it's Houston Outlaws with Dante and Pelican, like, it's going to be tough. You have to find some kind of a compositional advantage, have one of the tanks pop off and really rally around Chorong and Twilight in the back line, having a big impact. But if 5v5 is going to emphasize on DPS players, it's going to be tough for the Toronto Defiant to find like something they can lean on to get an advantage against some of these other teams as well.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement. They're looking extremely meh to me, honestly. Like, when you compare, not because their roster is bad, but it's just when you compare to how stacked everyone is looking and how also more cohesive, and I think how many, like, at points, less holes that other teams have. Like, when you think about, like, their tank line in particular, like, there's just less holes, and then there's less, like, question marks about how the DPS going to perform. So 6-8 probably is a very fair placement with, like, if everything goes really well for them, they can be fighting for that 5-6 spot, like Avril was saying. So, yeah. But I find unlikely that's going to happen. So probably a 6-8 position just because of how strong everyone's going to, but definitely possible. Definitely possible to still be fighting for the upper.
And I want to emphasize, if anyone from Overactive Media is watching, you have a really exciting team.
I've never
been this excited to watch the Toronto Defiant going into a season ever. This is a really fun roster. Chorong and Twilight backline. You got Heese in the mix. Two solid tank players. I'm excited to watch the Toronto Defiant. I want to see their season unfold. I'm genuinely very excited. So you got that going for you. If that's some aid, because you tried to be like championship roster, but it's not really. Yeah.
Well, there we go. So there you go. If you're a Defiant fan, you should have some hope. But, you know, we'll have to see if the hope pans out, if they can make it work in the upcoming season. So we still have one more preview we're going to be getting out here today. But that has been the Toronto Defiant, and we will be right back with another team preview.